Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
I would like for us to think about what we do when we come together like this. What has brought us here, church? What are we doing now? Worshiping God. And the true Christian worship is what we want to talk about tonight. True Christian worship. I have only about 40 minutes, and then I'll give room for about 5 minutes for questions. So, please, if I rush it, forgive me. The time allotted that I actually am following. I would like for us to first read from the book of First Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 16. We'll read verses 23 to 31. Us and the reading from the Old Testament, and then we'll go to the New Testament. I think I want to be Anglican Baptist today. First Chronicles 16, beginning from verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Ho, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let all the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Amen. Now we'll go to John, the Gospel according to John. Chapter 4, we'll read verses 21 to 26. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Amen. We know that many words actually that we talk about, especially in Christianity, will either come from Hebrew word or Latin or Greek word. Hebrew or Greek. Latin is for actually English. And the Greek word for worship is actually proskuneo. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But that word, you know, means literally to fall down before. To fall down before or to bow down before. When you meet with the king of your land, you know, if it's actually a crowned king, even the valet, I don't know, what was the equivalent of valet in English? Mayor? Something like that. You know, even the valet, you don't stand up to greet the valet. You kind of bow. It's a way of saying that, hey, I give honor to you. I give honor to you. And when we come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, guess what? We are expected to actually find ourselves in a way of submission to the King of Kings, giving him honor that is due him. And you see that in the passage we read in 1 Chronicles, it is expressed there in such an accent that you cannot in any way miss or doubt. And so we see here that Christian worship is more of the attitude of the spirit than a physical expression. More of the attitude of the spirit than physical expression. Let me tell you what. I can go to the palace and bow or whatever just to take the wagging tongues off my body. I may not bow in my heart. Like the boy that I was said, they said that stand up. And say, I won't stand. They said, stand up. And then, well, I'm standing, but inside me, I'm sitting. The same thing that be true concerning, you know, what we do for, you know, some of these others. And but when it comes to the things of God, Christians must beware that we are before our Creator, our Redeemer, our everything. If you know the attributes of God alone, that should make you to fear before him. Not the fear of, he will just hit my head and I will die. God is not like that. But to really reverence him, to give him the honor that is due him. And I pray sincerely that that aspect will come into us. But it cannot come if some things that actually we are going to study today cannot be found in us. When I see people using the phones to browse, not to read the Bible, but to browse. When I see people sitting at the back reading magazines and newspapers, when I see people doing all kind of things that, you know, should be actually looked upon as abominable to the Lord in this house, I just say to myself, there is something wrong somewhere. And the fundamental thing that is wrong, you know, we shall see by God's grace even tonight. You know, when we gather together in worship, let us know that, you know, it is important for you to just know that it is a thing of individual. Please don't let anybody distract you. Don't let anything, you know, make you to lose focus of your God. Fix your eyes on him and make sure that nothing will make you to actually feel offensive, to make you to, you know, have hate in your heart. No, free yourself. But because Your coming to church, guess what? Will actually be based on individual experience. I will go to heaven not because I am a member of Ikuyi Baptist Church. Do you know that? It's a personal thing. You can be a member of Ikuyi Baptist Church and, sincerely speaking, you may be fighting for the same position with Satan in hell. It's possible. So it's this individual thing. You are before your God. You know what has brought you. You know why you are before him. You know what, you know, has prompted you to wake up early in the morning, dress up, and come to church. And don't let anybody spoil it for you. When it comes to worship, we see that there is the public expression of it, and there is also the inner essence of why you have come. Public in the sense that, hey, Ikoyi Baptist Church that I belong to will be worshiping at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. So if I join the 8 o'clock service, I am having a public expression of worship. But even within it, it's still an individual thing. As we're seated now, do you know something? Some people are here, but they're not here. Physically, they are here. But the mind has gone off. They're thinking of something else. Maybe you're here this evening and you're expecting a call from overseas, and therefore you are watching the phone, even though you have put it on silent or on vibration. You don't want to miss it. Guess what? It will distract you from worship. It will. The external expression of worship can be faked, and it may be totally unacceptable to God, even though it is a show before the people, as if to say, wow, that guy, that lady is lost in the spirit, just, you know, raising the hand like that. Oh, but the mind is by far more important than the outward expression. That is why we say that God sees beyond the outward, the outside. He sees the inside. He sees the motive, and so on and so forth. Let's see what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 15, 8 and 9. Matthew 15:15, 8 and 9. These people draw what? Near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me. Then 9 says, and in vain, in futility, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You see what actually we... Because we gather together, that doesn't mean that God is inhabiting our worship. But I pray sincerely, whenever we come around, because of you, God will be present. In the midst of lost people, some can actually be there to save the crowd from calamity. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah. If I find only 10 righteous people, I will not destroy it. And so we see the quotation that we have from Matthew 15 is actually brought from Isaiah. Isaiah 29. And when we want to see the expression of this type, the example of this type of worship, we can see it also in the New Testament which Jesus Christ condemned without any apologies. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13, the Lord Jesus Christ went into the temple, and what did he find? He found that they were selling and what? And buying. The priests were the ones who put the things that they considered needed for sacrifice, and they were the ones selling this to the worshippers for gains. And they thought that because it is actually going to be used, they can do it in the temple. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. My own something says robbers. In the new, authorized King James version, I think you have robbers there. You have turned it into the den of robbers, den of thieves. And when we look into the Old Testament, the time of Isaiah, we'll see that there are some reasons why the worship of these people had actually become vain worship. Vain worship because, you know, they honored God with lip service. They say what is religiously acceptable without practicing what actually it means. They praise him, but they don't know what actually that praise is for. You know, I was opportune to go to a Catholic church where, you know, they still do the chanting, you know, and I was actually listening. I saw that it wasn't English. It was Latin. And I was saying to myself, how many of them understand Latin? You know, there's something about it. But when you're hearing the chanting, guess what? You are sort of, this is a language, it's like speaking in tongues. But the meaning is not going into you. The religious, you know, words or whatever is there, but no meaning. We see that we do this a lot. We do this a lot. Says that this did give lip service. Sometimes too, in English service, we sing some songs, but guess what? We only love the melody. The lyrics is meaningless. I fell into that on Monday, that was 2 days ago, when Mrs. Taiwo and Mrs. Ogunride were singing one song. You know, I was actually looking and saying, how was she saying this? But I wanted to know the real, you know, message in it. And I was opening my ears to, but I couldn't get it. You know, we do that a lot. Have you ever heard some people actually will say, oh, that preacher is very, very good, very eloquent. Oh, he did it. He just, you know, captivated us. Oh, what did he preach on? Well, I don't know, but he preached well. What is that? I pray that you will not be listening to my sweet voice this evening, but you hear the message. Then again, we see that, you know, these people, the Lord said their heart, Their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. Unfortunately, many people worship from or for ulterior motives. We worship God for or from ulterior motives. Some for self-glory. And you see that Jesus Christ condemned this in his teachings. If you go to the book of Matthew chapter 6, you will see that he condemned hypocrisy in worship. Hypocrisy in worship. Whether you are, you know, giving offering or whatever it is, void your worship of hypocrisy. Whether it is fasting, let not hypocrisy enter therein. By the way, if you fast 100 days in a year, for whose benefit? Is it for your benefit or for the benefit of your family? And then when you show it as if, you are holier than every other person, you have lost it. God is not interested in that. And again, we see that some actually worship God because of money. And the Bible also says something about that in verses Matthew 6, 19 to 24. You worship God, you worship mammon. You cannot worship both. You must choose one. You know what? I would like for us to read from Matthew 15, 7 and to 9. Matthew 15, 7 to 9. Okay. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people, same something that actually I've read. I'm so sorry about that. It's actually 1 Corinthians 1. But we'll not read everything because of time. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning from verse 18. Here God is saying that worship, you know, depends on me. That is God. Worship depends on God. We have come to worship him, but without him making us to know what is right to do or directing what actually we need to do, we cannot worship God. We have to know him. Religion cannot come from man. It must come from God. It can never come from man. And therefore we see that in all our effort, we need to still ask God, Father, let your Holy Spirit lead us. And foolish things God has used to confound the wise. When people say what they say, philosophically, whatever, you see that it is because they don't know who God is. And those of us who have simple mind, who know this God, will surely know that indeed he is to be worshipped and no one else. So true worship must come from him. Now, we have two natures of God, of worship, and it is expressed in the book of John chapter 4 that we read. The Bible says that we must worship God in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. To worship God in spirit has nothing to do with the physical posture. We may kneel down, we may stand up, we may sit down. The major thing is we are alert to what is happening around us. And in this sense, we see that it's not just taking the same posture and saying that it is time to bow down, it is time to stand up, it is time to sit down, everybody in uniform. No. To worship God in spirit has nothing to do with your physical posture. And it has nothing to do with physical location. I may worship God here. This place is dedicated for his worship. I can worship God in my house. Can you pray in your toilet? Will God hear you when you pray in your toilet? You better know that too, because you may want to do that thing and the thing will not come out. And you have to pray. Location has nothing to do. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ expressed it. The time will come, and now is, when God will not in any way look at you that you have gone to Jerusalem, or you are on the mountain, or you are in the valley, or you are whatever, as a place that God has chosen to be worshipped. Whoever will worship God in spirit and truth, the Lord God Almighty will hear. So we see that you cannot worship in spirit unless you are born again. I thank God for one thing. Evidences are in the scriptures that without the Holy Spirit in you, you cannot confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The confession of Peter came, and Jesus Christ looked directly at him and said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but who? My Father who is in heaven." My Father who is in heaven. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, please put it there. 1 Corinthians 12, 3. "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus Christ," what? "Accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except," what? "By the Holy Spirit." Let me say this. Whoever will speak against Jesus, know that the person is speaking out of pure ignorance. Pure, what is the opposite of knowledge? Foolishness. When you say that Jesus Christ is someone who he says he is, it's because the Spirit of God is not in you. If the Spirit of God is in you, you will confess him. So it's either or. When you lack the Spirit, you cannot in any way acknowledge Jesus. But when you are in the Spirit of God is in you, you will confess. The unfortunate thing is actually that some of us were born into Christian homes and we have never allowed the Spirit of God to actually indwell us. But we perform things of, church, and we think actually we are in it, but we are not. We are not. It is important for us to know that no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit in us that actually energizes us to be able to worship God, because in reality, when we come to worship, God is the one glorifying himself through us. Then again, to worship in spirit requires the mind. A mind centered on God and renewed by truth. Paul said it in Romans 12, that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual worship. Says that we should not conform to the things of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Only when our minds are changed from being centered on the things of the world that we can really, really, really worship. Sometimes, you know, especially when I was young and I didn't know what actually it meant to go to worship, and the service is getting long, I'll be consoling myself on my chair by thinking about the rice that I'm going to eat, because we used to eat rice only once a week, only Sunday, you know. And, well, you can't blame me. I didn't know much about, you know, God then. But when you come to know God, when you come to know Him, and you center your mind on Him, you concentrate your mind on Him, oh, sincerely, you see things happen. That is why we are advised or admonished to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Distractions can be many around us. And sometimes we occupy ourselves with the distractions, and true worship is totally hindered by such a distraction. Sometimes we look at and they say that in order not to distract people, women should be tying, you know, that something. Even that alone can distract you. Don't you know? Whatever it is, men can distract women. Women can distract men. Men can distract men. Distraction must be avoided. Why? Because what you are looking for is an encounter with God. An encounter with God. We can only worship in spirit by having pure heart. A pure heart will be opened to God, and guess what? A pure heart is always repentant. Children of God, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. If you say that you come to church and you say that, look, I have no sin whatsoever, you know, you are deceiving yourselves. When you pray the prayer of our Lord and you say, forgive us our sins, sometimes you will be rationing in your head, what sin have I committed today? May I say something? God is always true, and every man a liar. The thing about it is this: recognize who you are. Recognize your weakness. Recognize what you want God to actually strengthen you to do. And let that mind be such that will come into you. And make sure that whatever it is that you have been disobedient about, you know, you release it to God. If you still keep malice, if you still keep hatred, if you still actually have something against your brother or sister, the Lord said that that attitude will not in any way stand before Him. If you go to the book of Psalms, you will see where David cried out to God because he felt guilty about so many things that he did. And whenever he sinned against God, he will always go to God. The sin of adultery with Bathsheba, the sin of murder of Uriah, and so on and so forth. He had to confess this to God in order for him to be in right relationship with God again. Every time we come before God, let us actually know that if we come with lackadaisical attitude, with nonchalant way of whatever, how can you be coming to God when the service of God is starting at 8 o'clock and you are coming in at around 9:15 and you are still strolling down as if to say, what does it matter? It matters a lot. It matters a lot. Whatever it is that we know that God will be angry concerning us. We need to tender it before him and ask for forgiveness. This last one that I know I want to quickly touch on is truth. Worship God in truth. What is truth? Or what is true? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? Whatever is not false, Abby. You know, when we do objective questions, they say, just write true or false. You know, a lot of us fail it because they will give you one something like that, just like Satan did in the garden. It's almost true, but not totally true. But this time around, there's nothing about, you know, what you need to look for. Revelation may not be true. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, no. I'm talking about what you believe that God has revealed to you may not be true. It must actually be put side by side what the scripture says. It must be verified by the scriptures. The word of God is true. The word of God is true. Psalm 138 verse 2. You see, here the word, you know, the psalmist actually put it right. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above what? Above your name. The word of God is true. The word of God is true. The law of God is true. Jesus Christ actually expressed this word of God and wants us to know in John chapter 17, 17b, thy word is truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is infallible. And in Psalm 119 verse 142, says the law of God is truth. In verse 160 of the same psalm, your word is true. If you want to worship, you must actually know this God. And it's expressed also in the book of Hebrews. Let me open that place. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you don't know God, you cannot worship him. If you don't know God, you cannot worship him. The city of Athens was religious. So religious to the point that they worship anything. To the point that they had an inscription to the unknown God. And thanks be to God who sent Paul, who said to them, that which is unknown to you, that is what I preach to you, that you may know him. Do you know God? Have you actually asked yourself that question? Who is God? Who is God? You think it's actually too elementary? Has doubt ever entered into you? When things are happening to you and it seems as if these things are negative, 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 negative. And you're doubting and saying, is God real? is because you have not really asked yourself. And if you want the answer, guess what? You don't need to go to any GO. You don't need to go to any pastor. You don't need to go to, guess what? You have the word with you. We read this morning concerning the children of Israel who actually, you know, after Joshua and the elders died, what happened? The children turned to worshiping idols. Why? Because that which God laid down in the hands of these people, they neglected. Teach your children. Teach them the word. Teach them. When they lie down, teach them. When they rise up, teach them. When they walk by the way, teach them. Let them actually know who God is. It is then they will be able to worship God in the beauty of his holiness. To truly worship God, we must understand who this God is. And I think I have a quotation here which I will use to end this teaching today. Someone defined worship this way. Worship is an expression of praise from the depth of our hearts toward a God who is understood through the word. Worship is an expression of praise from the depth of our hearts toward a God who is understood through his word. That is worship. May God grant us the understanding of who he is, so that we may truly, truly worship him in spirit and truth.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.